are week two of Cuttlefish, keeping the dis out of disunity. And so thank you for the great responses and the feedback from last week. Appreciate that. But why entitle this series Cuttlefish? Just to give you a couple reminders about Cuttlefish, but I'm going to give you some new facts about Cuttlefish, and then I'll give just a couple reminders as well. One thing is Cuttlefish, it's not a fish. It's actually a mollusk. Cuttlefish's brain, this is something we talked about last week, the brain of a cuttlefish is larger than its body. That's pretty big. You think about that. How it's larger than its body. That's a pretty big brain. They actually have amazing camouflage, even though they're absolutely colorblind. Amazing camouflage, but they're colorblind. It's pretty interesting. With the help of millions of changey thingies, I ain't going to try to pronounce it, but millions of changey thingies in its skin, it can change color and texture almost instantly. That's crazy. Man, cuttlefish also, they thrive in groups. And here's the thing. Here's where we can get at. How many of us, we thrive in groups, right? And then the thing about cuttlefish is that when they are trapped in close quarters, they eventually turn on each other and devour each other without even a single thought. Cuttlefish. How many of you can be feeling, maybe it's been better this week, maybe it's gotten worse this week. I know that in my home, whenever I go to talk about family unity, it seems like all Hades breaks loose. It just seems like I can't even talk about this, you know, because it's just the enemy. You know, he tries to kick it up in your face, you know, but I tell you what, you know, we don't want this quarantine time to be like cuttlefish and everyone starts turning on each other in the family. And when we come off of this quarantine time, when we come off of this stay-at-home order, I mean, there's nothing left of our family. Everybody hates each other. Well, it's not God's best. 42 days of this pandemic, 42 days of having the opportunity of family members rubbing you wrong, right? You know, as a pastor, I want to help you and get your family, get the dis out of this unity and keep the unity, right? And we all may be feeling that cuttlefish syndrome. Just is a little suffocating, and it's just like, you know, give me a little room. I want to breathe, right? And but like we said last week, you know, united you stand, or divided you'll fall. And so together, unity is so powerful, you know. And I believe today's message is going to benefit everybody who deals with relationships. I may be talking a little bit to parents, a little bit to children, youth and young adults that still live at home, but I'm going to, and spouses, it's if you have a relationship, okay, if you're within the sound of my voice and you have a relationship with anybody, friendship, or any kind of relationship, this, you can apply these things. I'm going to attempt to get through this. I've got about tons and tons of information. I don't know how much I'm going to get through in the next 25 minutes. Right, because that's all my life. I got to do. If I got to kick it off the next week, I'll do that. But it's so much information. Just because we want you to be successful, we want your family to thrive through this and be better and stronger on the other side of this. And so, I believe that this message, with everybody within the sound of my voice, if you have any type of relationship, friend, any type of relationship, okay. Brother, sister, mother, daughter, father, son, sister, brother. I mean, it's just any type of relationship, right? Church, family, friends. Guess what? This is going to benefit you, all right? The series is all about getting in unity, staying in unity, and keeping the unity within your family during this quarantine, no matter the age span representation. My mother-in-law's been with us, Pastor Patty, and, you know, our dinner times, she just laughs because of the constant circus that goes around the table of talking while we're sitting there eating. And, you know, it's almost becoming entertaining, you know. And, you know, I remember several years ago, when we were doing youth ministry, when I was doing youth ministry, and we were traveling, and we were doing drama workshops. I believe it was in North Carolina, and we were doing drama ministry on the streets, different time, different era. I don't know if you can do that these days the way we used to do them back then. And so we were there, and I remember specifically we would go into a church or an area, hook up with a local church, and we would do ministry, some kind of drama ministry. And then we would go back and teach their youth group drama. We would do workshops. And so in this particular workshop in North Carolina that we were doing with a youth group, we began to talk about the importance of unity, you know, being on the same page while you're ministering together. Having unity was so important when you're ministering together, when you're traveling together, you know, unity was very, very, very important. And so, and right as we began to stand up to start practicing dramas and everyone dividing up in parts, I said, does anyone have any questions? And this young little girl raises up her hand and she says, yes, I have a question. She actually says, yes, I have a question. She talked like this. Yes, I have a question. And I'm like, sure, what's your question? She goes, yes, what's unity? And I'm like, excuse me? She says, what's unity? And I'm like, oh my gosh, my brain just like, what? She didn't know what the word unity meant or what the word unity was. And I thought to myself, that's insane. It just showed me different age spans. People may not understand what true unity is. I mean, I'll just go to what Webster says here today. Webster specifically says unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole. Just make sure everyone's on the same page, because people, you know, I know different age groups see things differently. That's the moment I realized that generations think differently. Like, over the years of being a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor without children, okay? I was a youth pastor with little children, and then I was a youth pastor with older teenage children or teenagers. And so, I've seen that, throughout the years with different parents, I don't say philosophy, but how we parental practices change, right? Parental practices change. So, for example, like your first child was, your first child, there's an excitement. There's taking a bazillion pictures, right? Your first child, you take a bazillion pictures. And you're so excited. And then the second child is more like you have like about 10,000 pictures, right? You know, and then like the third child, you might have like 72 pictures of them. And then your fourth and fifth child, you're not even sure if you took any pictures. I mean, it's just how the philosophy, your parental changing. And so I'm going to go over some parental changes that have take place throughout the years. Now, this first one, don't get upset with me, okay? I didn't write this one. A woman wrote it, okay? So, already. So, don't get upset with me, but the first one, a woman wrote it. I did not, okay? So, when it comes to how parental practices change, all right, when it comes to maternity clothes, okay? Maternity clothes. The first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your OBGYN confirms your pregnancy, right? I know somebody like that. I ain't not going to say who, but, that's the first baby. Second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as possible, right? You wear them as long as you possibly can. Your third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. So that's what, I didn't write that. Don't get upset. Don't boo. And so, but this is what, changes, right? Let's say I'm going out, right? I'm going out. You're the first baby, the first time you call home every 5 minutes, right? How many remember that? The first baby, you're calling home every 5 minutes. Second baby, just before you walk out, you remember to leave a number where you can be reached. And the third baby, you leave instructions for the sitter to call only if she sees blood, right? That's how I'm going out. And lastly, on swallowing coins. Swallowing coins. First child, you rush your child to the hospital and demand x-rays, right? And we didn't have those x-rays. Second child, you carefully watch for the coin to pass, right? Third child, you deduct it from their allowance. How many can relate to that, right? It's like, oh, say, come on, you didn't cough it up, so guess how much you're going to get. But honestly, times have changed when it comes to parenting. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about the five essentials of getting the dis out of five essentials. Okay, this is adding on to what we did last week. This is kind of it's going to be a continuation, another side of the mountain, five essentials of getting the dis out of disunity during this COVID-19 quarantine, all right? And like I said, you can apply these five essentials to any relationship that you have, every single one of them, all right? And so we'll start with Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, all right? It takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. It takes wisdom. That type of wisdom is beyond training, church. That type of wisdom, it's beyond instruction. The Bible says it's the fear of the Lord is the begin, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are to take something straight from heaven above. And that is the wisdom of God. It's what I refer to as having supernatural relationships. If you're a parent, it's supernatural parenting, supernatural relationships, having the wisdom of God to guide you in all relationships, every single one of them. And then it says it takes understanding. Understanding, it means the effort to apply all this truth into the most radical situations that face us. That understanding, the understanding of God, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the relationship, that we can take all of that and just all of that that faces us, and it's just all that truth, and it's right there for us. It takes that godly wisdom and understanding, relationships and marriage and parenting and existing with parents, existing with siblings. It takes that to make a strong home. It takes wisdom and understanding. Some parents, I don't understand, I don't think I have that wisdom. Yes, you do. You're just not tapping into the source to get that wisdom. You have the availability to do that. And when you have that wisdom, the understanding will follow. There's a reason why that proverb says wisdom first and understanding second. The first essential principle of is the absolute most important in having the wisdom and understanding in supernatural relationships. And the first one, the first essential is authentic faith, okay? Authentic faith. And you say, authentic faith, is that to say that there is unauthentic faith? Are you alluding that there's such a thing as unauthentic faith? That's absolutely correct. There's a group of people in the world that there's a great deal more. They have to understand there's a great deal more to God than just what takes place on Sundays. It is. God is more than just a Sunday God. There's a group of people that are not relying on the power, the anointing, the strength, and the ability that comes from God. And I just want to make you aware that if they are just playing church, kind of just like toying with God, you're like, I'm dating God. I'm just checking this out. I'm trying it out, right? He's just kind of in your life. God is an all-consuming fire in our life. He's all-consuming in our life. Let me explain what you're missing. If you're not letting him being all-consuming in your life, what do you mean by all-consuming, Pastor? I'm talking about letting him in every single day of your life, not just on Sundays. Not just sitting there while you're watching this, but every single part of your life. You're missing the incredible relationship when the Holy Spirit of God speaks into your life in the middle of situations. That can happen. That happens. Then when you're in the middle of everyday situations, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, speaks to me and guides me. He can speak to you and help you, guide you in every single relationship. You would be missing a strength that doesn't have to just be on Sundays. There's a grace and a strength that would be accessible to you in every single situation that you face. There is more to God than just religion. He is not religion, right? And we've often said he's a relationship. He's only in your life on Sundays, then it's more of a religion than a relationship. You know? And that's where you're missing it. It's authentic faith. It's dynamic. It's a dynamic relationship. It's vibrant and it's authentic. That is an authentic faith. John 10 tells us that his sheep knows his voice. That's how I know that you can hear his voice in the middle of parenting. You can hear his voice in the middle of an argument with your spouse. You can hear his voice when you're arguing with your brother or your sister. You can hear his voice when you're disputing something with your parents. You can hear his voice in the middle of that because John 10 tells us his sheep know his voice. We can recognize his voice, you know, right before we make a phone call. Right before we send an email, right before we text somebody, right before we discipline our children, before you interact with family members, before you send that message on Instagram that, you know, this don't send that. You should not say that. And you can pull you back. The Holy Spirit will interact with you, your everyday life, in your everyday relationships. I call it getting closer to Jesus. That's the best advice that I can give any parent. That's the best advice that I can give any single person. Closer to Jesus. You get closer to God. That's the best relationship advice that I can give anybody. Get closer to God. When I would counsel marriage counseling or premarriage counseling or family counseling, or I talked to teenagers about in years past, you know, when I would counsel youth, I would always wait. I would let them vent. I would let them air out. And then it would go always down to one thing. The one thing that I knew worked. The one thing that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt was just connected to everything. And I would wait for that time until they got it all out when they were ready to hear it. And that would be, I understand what you're saying. Now I have a question for you. How's your relationship with God? Every single time, well, it's not where it's supposed to be. It's not good. Well, there you go. That's the place to start. We don't like hearing that, but it's the truth anyways. It is the truth. You know, it starts there. If your relationship with God is jacked up, all your other relationships will struggle. If your relationship with God is jacked up, all your other relationships will struggle. I've seen it time and time again. It's actually easy to see now. When somebody's doing good with God and they're in this mode and they're happy and they're doing well, and all of a sudden, everything is bad. Everything is not, they're not getting along with anybody. It's just, you know, and all of a sudden I can tell. The relationship with God is not where it should be. That's good preaching. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. Parents, that is what you need to hear. Reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. When you mom, when you dad have a vibrant relationship with God, look who benefits in this scripture. Your kids, your children. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says, choose for yourself this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So good. Number two, the second essential is intentional schedules. Wow, you kind of went spiritual and then you got kind of natural. Well, that's right, because I'm all about the schedule thing. You know, I kind of can sound like a broken record with my wife at times. That's how I function. Give me a schedule, and that's not just kind of like flying by, like, oh, we'll get it done. No, give me that schedule, and we'll make sure we run with it. Schedule. Being involved. I've been involved in ministry for over 30 years, okay? The successful families that I've seen, okay, have all been intentional about what they did and what they did not do. Understand that. Successful families that I've seen in over 30 years have been intentional about what they did and what they did not do. Intentional schedules guard your family time. I'll say that again. Intentional schedules guard your family time. If you don't intentionally guard your family time, the enemy will do all he can to trick you into wasting it. It's the truth. He knows if you're in unity, you are more powerful. So to get you to waste your time and not be together, not be in unity, guess what? It's like everyone going different directions, speaking different languages. When the kids were little, we fought to schedule time to eat dinner at least 5 times a week. When Nick, Nate, and Jules were smaller, 5 times a week, we did everything we possibly could to eat a meal together. Sometimes if something came up on a weekday, we would make sure that we would do a Saturday morning breakfast together. But all of us were together. And it was so important. And it's all about communication. Why? So we can talk. We didn't have our phones. We have, you know, the TV on. We would talk. And we did this thing called high-low. So, and Pastor Kathy's talked about it before, where, you know, as when the kids were younger, getting them, trying to stir them up and talking and getting them to talk. You know, what was the high part of your day? You know, what was the best part of your day, in other words? You know, what was the low part of your day? What was like the worst part of your day? And everyone would go in and have a chance to talk. Everyone would have it. It was intentional, us doing that, so they would be comfortable with talking with us, comfortable talking with each other. And now you come to our house on dinner, you don't have to do high-low. They talk plenty. They do plenty of talking for everybody. And so, you know, it's good. It's awesome. That's what we want, you know. And there's not a loss for words at the massive table during dinner. Have you ever been there? You know, and you somebody say, Pastor, is this really necessary? Well, let me prove it to you with natural stats, okay? Cornell University, the average father in America spends 7 minutes a day with his kids. 7 minutes a day. That's 49 minutes a week. That's less than an hour a week. The average father in America spends 37.7 seconds a day with his preschooler. That's 4 minutes and 40 seconds a week. I mean, that's not less than 5 minutes a week with their preschooler. Instead, today we shove iPads in their laps. I've seen 1-2-year-olds with mini iPads and, you know, in restaurants and just to keep them quiet. You know, and I'm not against the iPad. I have one, and I'm not against them, but we have to be careful not to let electronics raise our kids. We allow the kids to use electronics all the time because you know, we want our parents, we want to be left alone. So let them use electronics. Let them go crazy on Xbox, Fortnite, you know, iPad, whatever. It doesn't matter as long as they're leaving me alone, you know. But I tell you what, parents need to parent with consistency and not parent out of convenience. Parents need to parent with consistency. That is the charge of a parent, okay? You are their life coach, not parent out of convenience. Trust me, you will not like the end result of letting Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, video games raise your kids. You know, on the other hand, you're not going to like the end result, adults, of letting social media and the internet provide needs for your spouse. Be intentional with your kids. Be intentional with your spouse. Be intentional in all your relationships. When things get back to the new normal, you know, you may not want to do 8 sports at a time. 3, you know, sign up for 3 dances, just did 3 dance classes and be so busy. I've seen as a youth minister throughout the years, oh my gosh, and they just run, not being intentional and just running. Listen to Psalms chapter 39, verse 6. We are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy rushing ends in, what's that last word? Thank you, nothing. Ends in nothing. Busy. You might be too busy when you yell, hey, kids, it's time to eat, and they run and they jump in the car because they think it's drive-through time. That's being too busy. Let's be honest. No one looks back on their life and thinks, I wish we would have done one more sport. I wish they would have taken one more dance class. No, they always look back and they think, I wish I would have had more time with my family. I'm just giving you biblical ethics from the Bible for parenting and for relationships. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. It's better to have only a little, okay, with peace of mind than busy all the time. Better be just a little busy and have peace of mind than be busy all the time. That's going to help some people. Because some people, you're like, you've been forced to settle. You've been forced to take an inhale and breathe. And now it's like, how am I going to get this back going? Maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to you. To exhale and say, you know what? I don't need to be that busy when we go back. We don't need to be that busy. And we need to fight for be intentional with our family time. Number three, and I think we're probably going to have to save the last two for next week. Number three, discovering purpose. When you have purpose, you will know how effective your time is spent. You will know where your time should be spent. Parents, individuals, church family, you need to focus, okay? Parents, you need to focus on your kid's unique thing that distinguishes that child from everyone else. Think about that. I believe that you know, you already have a direction of that one thing that child, your child is good at. You know, one of the best things I've ever heard in my life is, you know, you ever heard that old expression, you know, the jack of all trades, the master of none, right? But there's that one thing that we can be good at. It's not that we're good. We don't need to be good at everything, but we can be great at one thing. Just be great at that one thing. Let God use you where he wants you, where your purpose, where you're created. Parents, you have a direction. And if you maybe say, you know what, Pastor, I don't. Pray. Start praying now. That God begins to reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal it to you so you can start investing into that. Giving your child confidence and not trying to get him or her to live your glory days that you missed out on. That's not even my notes, but that was good. It's your, if you're faithful in the little, you'll be ruler over much. You just got to trust God. Trust God. What is that one thing that your child is good at? Parents, there's an anointing on your life to prophesy, to speak into the life that is your children. You can speak life over them, prophesy over them. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only gain is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. If I could just, I could figure out what God wants me to do, that's my aim. Some of the adults may be sitting there saying, I'm not even sure what I'm good at. What am I great at? Well, I'm telling you what, the vital artery of Family Worship Center is grow. We've been saying it for over 2 years now. That grow, you know, if you give me 4 weeks, four consecutive weeks, and you attend grow, you will discover your purpose. And then now, not only that, I have an opportunity to start walking it out, be trained, be in a safe environment. And I know that we're in a pause right now. But, you know, I encourage you, when we get back to the new norm, and if you haven't taken grow, you know, and we start them back up, jump back into the step one, and then class one, step two, step three, step four, do all four. There's some church family that has been a part of the church for a long time, and you are in a stalled mode, right? Because you think that you know it all, but see, God wants to refresh what you know. God wants to enhance what you know, and he wants you to see what you know, not just here, but here with fresh eyes, fresh spiritual eyes. And some of you honestly just need to stop saying, I ain't gonna do it, I ain't gonna do it, and do it, get involved, and you'll see all of a sudden, whoo, I'll tell you what, there'll be a new freedom that comes when you begin to walk out as you say, okay, God, you know, you're putting new wine in old wineskins, as the Old Testament talks about. This is good stuff. Telling you what, so good. I'm going to be closing here, but before we do that, I just want to end, before we talking about grow, you know, you can know what you are good at, even if it's at one thing. One thing that you can be great at, okay? You speak blessings over yourself. I speak blessings over yourself, over you. I speak blessings over you, right? It's kind of like a parent, you know, looks after and prays after and speaks, prophesies over their children in their house. You know, it's like kind of like my and Pastor Kathy's job to pray for you and pray over you, that you fulfill the purpose. You know the purpose and the plan of God for your life. You know, church, when it comes to relationships, you know, I just want to encourage you, you know, parents speaking to their kids and kids speaking to their parents and spouses speaking to their spouse, siblings speaking to siblings, families speaking to other members of the family, friends speaking to friends, church family speaking to church family. I'm telling you what, when you find out what your purpose in life is, the one thing that you're great at, okay, when you engage it, and you start doing it for his glory, it will be the game changer in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up of others according to their needs. We need to speak life to one another, not knock each other down for what we're not good at. Don't focus on your children and the things they're not good at. Focus on the things that the one thing that they're good at and the one thing that they're great at. Focus on that. I'm telling you, it's so important. Parents, Jesus, we need to do what Jesus did in Mark 10, chapter 16. He said, He took the children into his arms and put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Last week, we had you pray for your children, and your children prayed for you. But I want to encourage you to keep on praying for them. Keep praying for your parents. Keep blessing them in the name of Jesus. Parents, do your kids know how much you love them? Do you tell them daily? Do you tell them how important they are to you? Children, youth, young adults, do your parents know how much you love them? Do you tell them daily? Do you tell them that they are important? I'm going to end with this. I didn't ask this, but Peter, if you wouldn't mind, can you mind coming up? Because he's got a fresh cut. And I found out about it this morning. Shows I'm not on social media probably like I should. He lost a bet with World Changers on Friday night. And that's the result of his lost bet. And so he lost the bet. Remind me never to bet with them, you know. But here, listen. I know your kids are here. Your wife is here, you know, which I appreciate them. But I'm going to ask you a question, okay? I'm going to ask you a simple question as we end here before I ask the music manager to come up. You know what this is, right? What won't you
$100 bill.
Well, I got to touch it. Smart man. Automatically, he's like, $100 bill, right? If I told you right now in front of your wife, in front of your two awesome kids, right? If I said to you, you see that? If you put your hand over that like 5 or 6 times, and you would, if you did that, you would get the $100. Would you do it? Okay, you would do it, right? You think you would do it, right? Yeah, okay. Let's say I made a little bonfire outside, right? A little, you know, and I lit it up, right? And it was on fire. For this $100, would you run and jump over it? I mean, it's gonna be like waist high. Would you run and jump over it for the $100?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah. He would. They're already shaking their head. Yeah. He would. Okay. So, okay. Let's say we pull into your neighborhood, and your next door neighbor says, "Pete, he looked and there's a fire. His house is on fire." And he's like, "Oh my gosh, you know," and he runs over to you, goes, "Pete, Pete, 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 if you run in there, in the top drawer of my dresser is a $100 bill, and you, it's just engulfed in flames. Would you run and go get the $100?
No, I
wouldn't either. He's smart. Our children's minister is smart. Praise the Lord. So he's wise, right? Here, come on in the middle because I can see. Okay, so let me ask you this. Now, if we drove it to your house and it was your house on fire, engulfed in flames, and someone said, "Joe is in there. Your wife is in there. Austin is in there. Would you go in there?" There'll be no shadow of a doubt how much value is on your family because you love them. How much value is on because he loves you. Thank you very much. How much value is on your family that, you know what, that yes, we would do crazy things for $100, but I tell you what, when it comes to the real, when it comes to the real love, when it comes to the powerful love, when it comes to the family bond, the family unit, there's nothing that'll stop, no fire, no nothing, that will cause your family to look. Right now, each one of your families, if you have that $100, you hold it up, you tell your kids right now that you are far more important than anything, any type of money, any $100 bill, any money. You are more important. You are more valuable than any money, anything on the face of the earth. You need to tell your kids that. Teenagers, children, you need to tell your parents. You're more important than anything. I love you. At this moment, just take a second just to walk over and just embrace them, just hug them. Tell them how much you love them. There's nothing that can replace your family. Nothing that can replace your kids. Nothing that can replace those God-authentic relationships. The music ministry wouldn't mind coming up at this time. I have to end this because we're over our time. I'll just tell you that the next two were pretty amazing. We'll have to finish them next week. But I'll just tell you, I'm telling you, church, if you're in this place and you're saying, you know what, or I should say, if you're at home and you're saying, Pastor John, you know, I heard what you're saying, that first one, having authentic faith. I don't have that authentic faith. My relationship with God is just, you know, is just whenever I need God. It's okay. He's not mad at you. Yeah, like I say, he's madly in love with you. That's the unconditional love of God. There's nothing that you can do to ever make him turn his back on you. All you have to do is just make a decision right now to say, you know what, God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to give my whole life to you. Maybe you did it one time and you've taken it back, taking your life back and done your own thing. And it's just saying, you know what, God, I'm giving you my life back. I'm not going to take it back. I'm going to give it to you forever. And I'm going to live for you the very best I can. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit will help you every single step of the way.